morning, everyone. Well, that was weak. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. All right, let's stand together and let's go and just spend a little time worshiping and praising our Lord and Savior. Aren't you glad your name's written down in glory?
Well, I was lost in shame, could not get past my pain.
How many of you are glad that Jesus claimed you? Amen. I love the fact that we're singing that he is mine. But what I love even more is this, that the scripture says that he claimed us as his sons and as his daughters. And all that we have to do is to ask for forgiveness, receive him into our heart, and dedicate our lives to live for him. How many of you think we got the better end of that deal? Amen. 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 Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day where we wake up knowing that not only are you our Savior, not only are you our King, not only are you the one who created us, but you are our Father. And Lord, just as we claim you, Lord, we thank you that you claim us, that we are your sons and daughters. We thank you, Lord, that in this place today, if we do nothing else, we lift up your name. If we do nothing else, we honor you. If we do nothing else, we're going to worship you today, and we're going to hear from your word. We're going to surrender a knee at the altar, and we're going to draw closer to you. Lord, we love you. We love you, and we welcome your presence in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Would you turn and greet someone this morning? Say, hey, I'm glad you're here. Amen, 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 amen. So glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Want to say, if you are visiting with us today, thank you so much for being here. We are glad to have you in the house of the Lord. Glad to have you here at Noble Assembly, and hope that you just have a wonderful experience, not just being with our church family, but being with the Lord today. We'll ask if you're visiting, if you would take the card and the seat back in front of you and fill it out. And place it in the offering bag. It's going to pass in just a little bit here. That gives us a record of your attendance and helps us to know that that you came and hung out with us today. And once again, thank you for doing so. And let me say this. If you've been coming here a long time, thanks for being here today. Thanks for coming. You are missed when you are not here. It is a common practice for Pastor and I to talk in the office about, hey, have you seen this person, or hey, have you seen that person? And so don't ever question if you're not here. I wonder if they even noticed. We noticed. We noticed, and we miss you. We love you, and we're so glad that you made it this morning to be with us. I have a few announcements for you. As you know, our big Easter outreach is just like 2 weeks from, I cannot believe that, Pastor, 2 weeks from this past Saturday, and so it'll start at 11 a.m. We'll need volunteers here before that, probably 10:30. We'll get that narrowed down as we get closer to time. But if you'd like to sign up to be a part of that, help us to spread the eggs out, help us to greet people, help us to register, help us to do whatever needs to be done, help us to hand out the prizes for the prize eggs and all that gets done that day, would you sign up out there? And that way Pastor Chad will know that you're coming to help with the Easter, or as we call it, the Easter extravaganza. That is so punny. Extravaganza. And so anyway, also another volunteer opportunity of outreach is VBS. It'll be here before we know it, and we're excited about that. I need to give you a couple of things for you to remember, because they're very important. First is this. If you are going to go with us next Sunday afternoon, games at 2, to the OKC Dodgers game, for $15, it'll get you your ticket, baseball hat, and all you can eat, hamburgers and hot dogs and drinks and cookies and all that, and we'll all sit together and have a good time. You have to pay today, because tomorrow I'll be calling in tomorrow morning to reserve the rest of our tickets, and after that that's all the tickets I'll have. And so I'm only going to order tickets that are paid for, and that way we do good with the church's money. And so anyway, if you want to go, you need to come and find me today and say, hey, here's the money for my tickets. We've got 30 something already signed, paid. We've got another 20 or so of you that have signed up, and so I want you to go with us. Love to have a group of more than 50 go, and that'll be awesome. And you'll notice out on there's some instructions invitation. We're going to leave the parking lot at 1 o'clock next Sunday morning. And so I guess it's Sunday afternoon at that point. But anyway, we're going to leave at 1 p.m. And you can either ride the church van or you can ride in your car and just follow behind us. That way we can all go together, get into the game, and have a hot dog eating contest or something. I don't know. And I think I can beat you. I don't know. I probably shouldn't beat you. That leads to a whole other side story I'm not going to tell you today. So, but anyway, you need to pay for that. Also, youth camp's coming up, so you need to be, if your young person is from 8 years old to 12 years old, that's kids camp. That's Pastor Chad. And if you'd like them to go to kids camp, the dates for that are July 25th through the 29th. And a $30 deposit will reserve their spot. You can pay the remaining amount later on. And then youth camp, our spots are limited. They're whittling down very quickly. And so if you have not turned in your $30 deposit, you're going to want to do that quickly because we're getting close to the point where I have to say to people, I'm sorry, I don't have any more spots. And camp is sold out. This year's youth camps are 6 camps. We're just going to go to one, but there's 6 camps over the course of 5 weeks and holds 1,000 apiece, just so you know. Every camp is sold out. So we have almost 6,000 people signed up for junior high and high school camps this year. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for that. And I get to be part of the team that figures out how to do all the recreation for all those kids. So pray for me. And then last but not least, right after service today, just really short, we're going to do a missions trip meeting. And parents, I'd love for you to be there, okay? So this isn't just for the missions team. Parents, come and listen in. We're going to be talking about some fundraising ideas and some things as we move towards our trip to Denver this summer. So we have lots of announcements, and just read your bulletin. I think I covered most of them pretty well. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Amen, amen. All right. After I pray with the tithe and offering, and once the bag is past you, if you'll stand back up, we're going to go back into worship. And so would you bow your heads? Lord, we come to you this morning thanking you so much just for all that you have provided for us. We thank you, Lord, for all who give. Lord, would you just take what's given, multiply it, to continue to bless our church as we continue to reach out to those who are hurt and lost. And Lord, we pray right now that they would come to find you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Struggles and darkest day, I'll remember.
remember today. For it is still empty today. For you rose from the dead and you reign beside our Heavenly Father today. And we just give you glory and praise, Father, Lord. We just worship you with all our hearts. We glorify your name and we just lift you up. And we just thank you. Thank you for everything.
Jesus, all my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much. I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart.
Oh, come on, my Hallelujah. Oh, Father, Lord, we just come to you with hearts of gratitude. When I think about over my life, all the things that you've done, you have blessed me beyond comprehension. You've given me so much. And I just want to glorify and praise your name today. And though it may not be much, just the words, hallelujah, and I praise you and I love you. But I know that you receive it with the heart that I've given it to you. And we just praise and glorify you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy,
sing that one more time, ladies. Let's sing that again. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, on solid ground. Well, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Makes me want to shout.
Well, come on, let's shout this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Makes me want to shout. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We need to remember a couple of families in prayer this morning. Pastor Mark Fultz, who used to be on staff here for 7 years back several years ago, his father passed away yesterday. Actually, I think it was Friday, and his funeral is Tuesday at 11 at the Church of Christ, so here in Noble. So let's lift up the Fultz family. Avis Fultz passed, and I'm so glad that Pastor Mark and I both talked to him and made sure you're right with the Lord. Are you ready to go to heaven? And he said, yes, I am. So, you know, that's the big decision. That's the most important thing in the world when you get down to the end is, where are you headed next? And he said, I'm ready to go. I know I'm going to heaven. So let's lift up the Fultz family. Also, I'm doing a funeral here at the same time. I wish I could go to Mark's dad's service, but we have a funeral here on Tuesday at 11 o'clock, same time, for Floyd Stark. Floyd was not a member of our church, a member of our community. And so we'll be doing his funeral here at 11 o'clock on Tuesday. We are having a dinner. We are not doing the dinner. Hear me. We are not providing any food, but we are providing the facility after the service. And so if there's two or three people that might be help with setting up tables and chairs and then tearing down and all that, that would be great on Tuesday. Otherwise, Pastor Phil and I and Gloria have a lot of work to do. So anyway, if there's some of you that could help us with that, maybe you're off work or something and you got a couple hours, that would be great. So let's lift up the Fultz family, the Stark family, and then just lift up this service and our country to the Lord. God, we come to you today. We pray for peace and comfort for both of these families who've had their loved one pass away. We pray for Pastor Mark's family. We just pray that you would be with these the sons, Greg and Mark, and their families, Lord, at the homegoing of their father, Avis. We pray that you would just let that service be a great source of help and healing and inspiration. And we thank you that Avis Fultz is with you today. Father, we pray for the Stark family. We pray that you would just comfort his two daughters and son and the grandkids, Lord, and great-grandkids. We just pray that you would be with this family in their time of grief. And Lord, we just rejoice also that Floyd loved you, served you, and was ready to go when his time came. And so, Lord, we just pray that you comfort these two families. We do pray for this service and for the people here today in the building and people watching online. We just pray that you would speak and touch and minister to hearts today. We pray, Father God, that you would touch our country, touch our nation, Lord. You said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will turn and forgive their sin and heal their land. Lord, we pray for our land today to be healed, for a move of God that will shake this country once again before you return. And Father, we pray that your will be done in every situation, in every person's life, and we give you all the glory and all the praise. And all God's people said, and all God's people said, amen. There you are. You may be seated. Lord bless you for being here today. Aren't you thankful for our musicians this morning? Amen. Praise God. I appreciate Elliot and Kira jumping on board to help us. It's really added to our worship service as more musicians. And so we're still praying for a bass player, a good bass player. So, amen. Praise God. Hey, another thing before I get into the word is, you know, for several years now, we've had the goal of $30,000 to give to missions during our missions convention. Well, this is the closest we've ever got. $29,635.65 over the last 6 months. Now, you say, what is that? That's undesignated missions giving. That's when you mark on your envelope missions. Now, I know we've had missionaries here. That doesn't count that. It doesn't count anything that's particular, specific about missions. That's just flat giving to missions when people give to just write missions on their envelope. And so that's close. I'm going to keep it at 30,000 until we break it. So we're going to try again in this 6 months and see if we can do better. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, I'm glad I'm sitting by you. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter number 18. Luke chapter 18. Pastor Chad's going to be bringing the word tonight. I hope you'll be back tonight for a wonderful service and time in the house of the Lord. Father God, we pray, Lord, this morning that you would speak to us through this message. I thank you, Lord, that one of the things that we get to do every week and even on Wednesdays is come to the house of the Lord and hear the word of God. And I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, that your word has power and has authority, and there is miraculous workings in our lives when we submit to your word and we obey your word and we hear your word. It causes faith to grow. So, Lord, I pray that as we listen to the word today, Lord, we would not just listen with our ears, but we would put it in our hearts and in our minds, and that we would see a great harvest of righteousness and a great harvest of benefit come to us and to the world around us. So, Lord, touch this message this morning. Speak to us. You know where everyone is here spiritually. You know what every single person in this sanctuary is facing today. Maybe a different battle they're facing or whatever. We thank you, Lord, that you are concerned about those things and you are ready to help. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen. Amen. In 2002, UPS launched a TV ad at the cost of, $45 million. They launched an ad campaign and their slogan was, "What can Brown do for you?" How many of you remember that? A few of you remember seeing that on TV. What can Brown do for you? Well, that ad campaign lasted until 2010, and then they changed it to something else. But they wanted you to know, UPS wanted you to know that they can deliver on their promise to get you your package shipped and take care of your business. They, of course, are still in business. They're running around in their Brown trucks bringing you your stuff. The ad campaign, as I said, ended in 2010, and since then they've gone on to other things to promote their business. Well, I want to tell you this morning, I know of an ad campaign that started a long, long time ago at a price of the precious blood of Jesus, and it is still in operation today as well. This ad campaign says, "What can believing do for you?" What can believing on God's promise and believing in God's power and believing in God's Son do for you? God started this before the foundation of the world because he knew that man would need a Savior and that there would need to be a sacrificial lamb that was given and slain so that we could be set free, so that we could be healed, so that we could be helped. So since the beginning of creation, God has been operating this life-saving business, covering man's sin and comforting man's sorrow. Can you say amen? His ad campaign has not ended. Lives are still being saved. Hearts are still being changed because of the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Somebody needs to shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. So look with me at the passage in Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus, the Nazarene, was going by. So he began shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," the people in front of him yelled. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. And as the man came near, Jesus asked him, What do you want me to do for you? Lord, he said, I want to see. And Jesus said, all right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see. And he followed Jesus, praising God, and all who saw it praised God too. Isn't that a wonderful story? It's not just a story. It's a real fact. It's a real an account that happened. Mark's gospel also told that story. We're going to flip over there because there's a couple of details that are added that are not in the Luke's account. You know, each of these gospel writers wrote it according to how they saw it. You say, does that add errancy to Scripture? No, it actually validates Scripture. It actually, you see it from different people's eyes. And so Mark tells it this way. This is in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Says, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come to me. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly the man could see and he followed Jesus down the road. Amen. Both of these counts tell us that it was a blind man who was a beggar. Mark's account tells us his name was Bartimaeus. He also tells us when Jesus called that he threw aside his cloak that he had, and he was the son of Timaeus. And so there are certain details there that Mark's gospel tells us that Luke's doesn't. But what a wonderful, wonderful miracle happened in this man's life. This man was blind, and because he was blind, he was forced to beg. That's the only way he could survive, was just to beg for people to help him. What a terrible thing to have to live like that. I want us to look at this story and make some application to our lives today. After all, this story was put in the Bible for a reason. There are many, many things Jesus said and did that were not included in the Scripture. John 21:25 says, Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not have contained the books that would be written. So there's things that Jesus said and did that if all of them were recorded, the whole world couldn't contain all the books. So I think it's pretty important that this particular account, this scripture, this story was included in the Bible. So what can we learn from it? I'm going to break this account down into four parts. Number one, the need. Number two, the news. Number three, the notable. And number four, the new normal. And that's really neat, isn't it? First of all, the need. Blind Bartimaeus had a need. What was that need? What was his need? To see. He was blind. And it affected him in many, many ways. How he lived, how he survived, how he fed his family if he had family. You know what, church? We have needs today. Some of these affect us more severely than others. Physical needs, financial needs, emotional needs, family needs. And on we could go, all different kinds of needs that people face here today in 2022. Those who are lost, those who are unsaved, those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior and have been set free from their sins, they have a tremendous need, and a lot of them don't even know it. If you don't know Jesus Christ, that's the biggest need you have. It's a huge need. Like I said earlier about the two men who had passed away in our community this week. The biggest need that was the most important need that was met when they died was where they were spending eternity. Friends, that's the biggest need of all. Do you know where you're going when you take your last breath on this earth? That has great implications. Those who are lost need to believe in and on Jesus. Not just in Jesus. The Bible says the demons believe in God and tremble. You can believe in God and go straight to hell. There's going to be a lot of people in hell that believed in God. Believing on his son is different. You've put your trust in him. You have sat down on his promises. I believe this chair right here could hold me. I believe in it. That's a nice, strong-looking stool. It looks like it's not cracked or about to fall apart. I think if I sat on that, it would hurt me. That looks like help me. That would be a good stool. Well, I'm just going to see. And so now I'm believing on it. Because now I am putting my trust in it. It is holding me up. That's the difference between some people who are lost and some people who are saved. Like I said, a lot of people believe in God. You can believe in God, as I said a moment ago, and still go to hell. But you believe on him, and you put your faith in him, and you put your trust in him, in a sense, sit down on him. Then that's a big, big difference. That wasn't even my sermon. That just came to me. That's all free. But it was good. They need to believe in and on him. They need the Savior to come into their heart. They need their sins washed away. They need to have their name put where? In the Lamb's Book of Life. They need to know where they're going. The Lord met that need for me when I was a child. When I was just a child, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And you know what? The Lord has stuck with me ever since. And I've did my best to stick with him. But you know what? I can tell you here today, I still face needs. Just because I have Jesus in my heart doesn't mean I no longer have any needs. There's different things I face, just like there's different things you face, that as a believer, we can still have needs. We still go through stuff. The saved still have needs and things they face even after they come to Christ. Amen? Did you know that? I'm sure you do. The saved can still be blind in a sense. We talked about this man Bartimaeus. He was blind. Did you know that even as a saved person, you can be blind to certain things in your life? You can be blind to certain spiritual things that maybe you don't comprehend or have not become illuminated to you. God has not spoken to you, or you have not come to the realization. Maybe you've not studied and read the scripture, and maybe you've been not under the preaching as much as you'd like to. So there's a lot of things in this Bible that you don't understand, that you are in a sense are blind to. You can be emotionally blind, intellectually blind. And there's, like I said, a lot of people that are Christians don't even realize that they can be blind. Maybe not physically. I'm not talking about physically, but in other ways. The Apostle Paul referred to our eyes being opened in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 21. This is what he said. He said, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus, so he's talking to Christians, right? And your love for God's people everywhere, I've not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight, talking about sight, opening your eyes, and insight, so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light, so that you can understand the confident hope that he has given to those he called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in the world, but in the world to come. So Paul prayed, I pray that the eyes of your heart be open. We sing that song a lot of times in church. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Our eyes can be blinded to things in the scripture that maybe other believers see. But we can be blind in a sense at that point. Now John, in the book of Revelation, he takes it a step further. And this is not a good blindness, but in the church to the church of Laodicea, He writes this in Revelation 3:14. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. Listen to what he tells. This is written to a church. Jesus is speaking. I know all things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me so you will not be ashamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. John is saying you can be blind spiritually in a very, very bad way. You think you can see. You think everything's hunky-dory in your life, but you actually can be blind. And Jesus is saying, you need to buy some salve for your eyes so you can see. So I want to tell you this morning, we can be blind and not even realize it at times. And so lost or found, like Bartimaeus, we have needs. If you're lost, you have a big need. If you're found, you can still have needs. And if you're found, you might not even realize you have the need that you're blind. So it doesn't let any of us off the hook, does it? We all, in a sense, are like Bartimaeus. We're all like blind Bartimaeus to some degree or another in our lives. And that leads to my second point, the news. The news. Blind Bart heard the noise of a crowd and received the good news that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. Blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was on the road near him. And that's the best news of all. The best news any person can have in their life is that Jesus is nearby, that Jesus is on the road, that Jesus is coming, that Jesus is in the house. Jesus Christ is the good news. He can meet every need. Everybody say every. Every need he can meet. I want you to get that in your heart this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ, God, can meet every single need that we have. Every single difficulty, trial, temptation, problem, struggle, everything that we face can be met by the Lord. And blind Bartimaeus wasted no time to begin going after the one that could meet his need. After the one he heard about. If only everyone, including all of us, would learn to call out to Jesus like the way Bartimaeus did. You can read the intensity in the scripture of how he called on the Lord. I mean, he began shouting as soon as he heard that he was going by. Oh, son of David, have mercy on me. And people said, oh, just be quiet. You don't need to bother him. And it didn't stop him a bit, did it? He just yelled louder. Oh, Jesus, help me. Church, if we get that desperate for Jesus to work, he's going to hear and he's going to respond. He's going to love it that you are going after him and seeking him with all that's in your heart. He wouldn't be silenced. He would not be denied. I think there's a good hymn written about that. I would not be denied. I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. Y'all know that one? If you grew up in church at all, you've heard it. I got to get a drink. He wouldn't be denied. He wanted Jesus to meet his need. Saved and unsaved, my friends, we must cry out to Jesus if we want to be set free. Whatever you have need of today, I have good news for you. Jesus is alive and well. and he's here ready to take on your case. Hallelujah. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too hard. Nothing is too small that God won't take up the case. He is the Almighty God. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, my righteousness. He is Jehovah Shammah, the God who is always there. He is Jehovah Nissi, my banner. He is Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd. He is Jehovah God, and he will not be denied to hear your request. Hallelujah. All of these things that the Lord describes himself as are things to meet your need. He told Moses, who am I? I am that I am. I am whatever you need me to be. I'll be your shepherd. I'll be your savior. I'll be your healer. I'll be your guide. I'll be your comfort. I'll be your strength. He is your need meter. He will supply. He is the great I am. I am whatever you need me to be, he says to us. So don't put off, wrestle with, put up with whatever is on your heart any longer. Say, there is hope in Jesus. He is my God. He will see me through. Why is that? That leads to point number three, the notable. The notable. You say, well, what do you mean by the notable? Well, let me take you back to a book that was given to me by my aunt and uncle in May of 1976. I just graduated out of ninth grade, junior high. I was 14, about to be 15 in July. My aunt and uncle gave me this book for my graduation present. It's the Young People's Thesaurus Dictionary. I'm thinking, aunt and uncle, could you not give me a new shirt or, you know, something, you know, a new cassette, some new cassettes. Boy, that's dating me, isn't it? There wasn't such thing as CD or none of that then. I want a new cassette, woo, so I can take my pencil and stick it in the wheel and rewind it, you know, all that stuff. How many of you ever had your cassette get caught in the recording? You go to pull it out and it just, woo. All you young people, you don't even know what I'm talking about. But it was life, and it was very frustrating. But my aunt and uncle, my aunt Betty and Uncle Dwayne gave me this book. And I thought, I'll probably never use that. But thank you. I love it. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I love it. I'm going to tell you. Almost as often as I pull out my Bible to prepare a sermon, I pull out this book to help me with it, and this sermon included. It's a book of synonyms, words that mean about the same thing. And so I have used this, and you know what's cool about that? It just humbles me to think about it. I had no idea at age 14 that I was going to be a pastor, a preacher, doing what I'm doing, standing here today. I had no idea. But just that little thing right there of the Lord provided me at age 14, almost 15, with a thesaurus that I use about every week now. I thought, boy, that is a mighty God that I didn't even see it happening. I want to tell you, God knows more about you and what you're going to be in the next 10 or 20 years than you ever think. Put your hand in his. Now, the reason I turn to this, because I'm talking about the word notable. I want to show you what notable says. Notable. Here's the definitions or the synonyms of notable. Notable, striking, important, remarkable, noteworthy, memorable, special, extraordinary, exceptional, rare, famous, distinguished, renowned, celebrated, well-known, prominent, and popular. Isn't that awesome? That the notable thing in our story today is found in verse 40 and 41. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. And as the man came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" That is notable. That is exceptional. That is extraordinary. God stopped when he heard the cry and he called out to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" My friends, Bartimaeus is no different than you and I are today. You can call out to him. You can be desperate in whatever you're facing and say, "Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me." And Jesus will stop and say, "Brother Terry, what can I do for you? What can I do for you?" Now that's notable, isn't it? What can God do for you? Hallelujah. Jesus heard. He stopped. He ordered. He asked, "What can I do for you?" How gloriously awesome and amazing that question is. What do you want me to do for you? That's the Creator asking the created. The Creator, the one who put all this world into existence and spoke and the earth came about and the animals and the plants and the trees and the moon and the stars and the sun, the one who created all of this, stops and asks you, "Jared, what do you want me to do for you?" Isn't that amazing? Isn't that notable? God, the infinite, asking the finite. That is notable, to say the least. And still applies today. It just wasn't notable for Bartimaeus. It's notable for us. It's notable for you. Many scriptures tell us to amplify that. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. You know this scripture. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. Oh, peace of God. You will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. How about Luke chapter 11, verse 9 and 10? "And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." And that's just two scriptures out of many that we could share. Blind Bartimaeus called out to the Lord. He heard that question that was given to him, and we can too. My friends, talk to God. Have a little talk with Jesus, and he will make it what? Right. Speak Jesus. I love that new song we've been singing. We sang it last Sunday. Don sang it the week before. Michelle has led it a couple times, but it took on a whole new place in my heart last week. I think God finally put it in my heart what he's saying. Speak the name of Jesus. We need to be speaking Jesus. Speaking Jesus. Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and mind, because I know there is peace in your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Because your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every fear and anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. And then he goes to shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Church, speak Jesus. Shout Jesus over every heart and mind. Because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Oh, if we just had more people speaking and shouting Jesus. Amen. How different our world would be. How different your family would be. Speaking Jesus over your family. Lord, I speak Jesus over my children, over my spouse. Lord, I speak Jesus. How different our church would be. Lord, I speak Jesus over Noble Assembly of God and over every church in Noble and the surrounding areas. I speak Jesus over my community. Lord, I speak Jesus over Noble. Lord, give us a Christian mayor. Oh, thank you, Lord. You did that one. That's just one area. Lord, we speak Jesus over our schools and over every business and over every addition and over every street and every other house in Noble and Norman and wherever you live, Goldsby. We speak Jesus. Well, that leads to my last point. The new normal. What was normal for Bartimaeus before Jesus? Sitting blindly begging for someone to help him and give him alms. Now the new normal is, I can see. I'm praising God. Verse 43. Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God. And all who saw it praised God. He can see now. That's his new normal. He doesn't have to sit and beg any longer. He can go back to living a more normal life. He can go back to seeing things that he's not seen in a long time. The new normal now for him is praising God and following Jesus. And everyone else praising God too. You see, when you start praising God, you know you have a ripple effect. There's other people that start praising God because you're praising God. When they start seeing the Lord touch you, they're going to be touched. Because, boy, he can do it for him. What about me? And you start praising, and they start praising God. I'm ready for some new normals. How about you? I'm ready for a church on fire. I'm ready for a pastor on fire. I'm ready for a church that's filled with the Holy Ghost and a church where the lost are being saved and the saved are being filled and the filled are being sent out into the community to make a difference. I'm ready for lost people to suddenly be finding Jesus. I'm ready for prayers that you have prayed for years and years and years suddenly to be answered. And you go, wow, wow, God answered that prayer. I'm ready for believers set free from besetting sins and setting the Lord square in the middle of their lives. I'm ready for former unbelievers now fully believing what Jesus can do. Hallelujah. In conclusion, musicians come. Can I ask you this morning? Not what can Brown do for you. That might get you a package from JCPenney at your door. But what can believing in Jesus do for you? What can believing do for you? I'm saying that not only to the person that's lost and to the sinner, but I'm saying that to all of us as believers. What can believing do for you that God can meet your need and hear your prayer? What can believing do for you? The answer is a whole lot. A whole lot. Blind Bartimaeus leaves us a good example. Cry out after God. Tell him your need. Then believe and follow him with all of your heart. And you will see God show up. When my kids were little, when they had a problem and they come crying to me or hurt themselves in some way and they come crying, I didn't say, get away from me, I don't want to hear you. I didn't say that. I grabbed them, picked them up, you okay? Yesterday, Cruz fell down as he was walking and scraped his knee. When he started crying, I looked down and seen him going. I didn't say, "Oh, Cruz, grow up, you little panty waste." Come on. Man, I grabbed him and said, "Cruz, you okay? You okay, buddy? I want to tell you, God's like that. You go start calling out after God and say, 'Lord, I've got a need. I fell and hurt my knee. And Lord, I'm hurting. My family's hurting. My situation's hurting.'" He's going to grab you up and say, "What do you want me to do for you?" Not get away from me. I don't have time for you. You're taking up my time. No, what can I do for you? And I'm asking, that's what the Lord's saying to us this morning. What can I do for you, Darren Peterson? That's what the Lord's saying. What can I do for you, Sheila? Darren, what can the Lord do for you? All around this room, the Lord would say, what do you need me to do for you? That's the best way to get excited and witness to people. When the Lord's done something for you, you can't help but talk about it. I wouldn't have to give you the Lord's word and command that, oh, you're supposed to be witnessing to people. You know, suddenly I have some rich uncle, which I don't, but if I had some rich uncle that was worth about $10 billion suddenly send me a check for $1 billion, I wouldn't have to be told, "Steve, you need to rejoice in that. You need to tell people about that." I might not tell anybody. I might be inundated. Maybe I set it too high. Let me bring it down a little bit. Somebody gave me $1,000. Let's get this into reality here. If I had $1 billion, I don't think I want you to know, because my doorstep would be lined up. Someone blesses me with $1,000 or something like that. Some blessing gives me a new car. I don't care. I'm going to tell people. I don't have to be, "Steve, you need to tell people that you got a new truck that someone gave you." Think about that spiritually. When Jesus has done something for us and helped us and healed us and set us free, and we don't have any trouble witnessing about it. But we get so excited about what Jesus is doing in our lives and in our family, and even if it hasn't happened yet, we can still be believing God and praising God. "Lord, it may not have happened. My loved one may have not got saved yet. My grandchildren may still be on a destructive path. But Lord, I am praying and standing in the gap and believing for their salvation, and I'm going to praise you all the way to heaven if it takes that long." Hallelujah. 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 What can Jesus do for you? What can believing do for you? While heads are bowed right now, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. What can believing do for us? Oh, Jesus, may we be like blind Bartimaeus. Lord, may we run to you. May we cry out after you, "Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on my family. Have mercy on my children. Have mercy on me, Lord. Touch me today. Help me today. Heal me today. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just going to open these altars right now. If you need the Lord to do something for you, we're going to do communion in just a moment. But if you need to respond to this message, you need the Lord to do something. You don't want to walk out of here with saying, "Lord, I come to this altar. I need you to help me with this." Right now, would you just come? These altars are open. In a few moments, we're going to have communion. But I just want you to be able to respond into the Lord. You're not responding to me. You're responding to the Lord. Say, "Lord, I have a need. I have a need." Go ahead and play something, Don, whatever. And then we'll have you ladies come and sing in just a moment. Oh, Lord, we come to you. If you need prayer, I don't mind to anoint you with oil and pray for you. And Pastor Phil will be up here too. We will pray for you. This is response time. This is say, "Lord God, I need you. I need you, Lord, today. I need you to help me, to touch me." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. again. I just want to speak. Oh, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Just cry out to God for the lost, for our city right now. Hallelujah, Lord, we cry out to you in behalf of our city. Lord, in behalf of the lost, in behalf of children and teens and adults and seniors, Lord, who do not know you as Lord and Savior. We speak Jesus over Noble. We speak Jesus over Norman. We speak Jesus over Washington. We speak Jesus over Moore. We speak Jesus over Purcell and Lexington and Slaughterville and Goldsby, Lord, over Shawnee and Tecumseh, Lord, all of this central area. We speak Jesus over Oklahoma City. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Let light break through the darkness. Let healing come. Let your power come as your church goes forth. As your church goes forth, Lord, let us go forth in your name. Hallelujah. Because your name is healing and your name is power and your name is life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord, it's all because of the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood. They overcame by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Oh, Lord, we're going to come to the table now to celebrate your blood. As guys, would you go ahead and come and pass out the elements among the church body? If you're watching by home, grab some grape juice and a piece of bread right now. You can take communion with us as they're passing out. The ladies are going to come and sing a song, and you can be prepared to take communion with us as we celebrate the blood of Jesus.
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind. I was running out of time. And sin separated. The breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, had me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. And thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. And you were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of
been served? Did we miss anybody? Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat, for this is my body." Take the bread. Father, we hold in our hand this little piece of bread that represents your broken body. We thank you, Lord, that as we receive this today in remembrance of you, our heart is rejoicing in our salvation. Our heart is thankful that you have been with us all the way and that you said you would never leave us or forsake us. Today, we honor you, Lord, by receiving this bread in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name. And he took a cup of wine, gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Lord, we hold up this cup of grape juice that represents your blood. And Lord Jesus, we look forward to the day
that you drink it again around the marriage supper of the Lamb. A day that we've yet to see, but a day that we know is coming. Lord, we thank you for your blood. We thank you, Lord, that it cleanses us. We thank it gives. Thank you, Lord, that it gives us power and it gives us peace. And it gives us permission to spend eternal life in the place you prepared for us. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just stand and give the Lord thanks and praise? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, let us go out of here today ready to let the world know that you are alive, that you are present, and that you are ready to hear the cries of people's heart. You are ready to respond to them, whether saved or lost. You stand ready to meet every need. And we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you today. Pastor Phil, where's your meeting at? Right here, if you're a child, teen rather, and parents going on a mission.